Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Acts chapter 11. In this chapter, you know, sometimes when we're about to read a text, we go back to remind you of what happened right before, but that's what this chapter actually does. And so we're going to just read the text, and it will give us a reminder of what happened just before. Acts chapter 11, this is God's word. "The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them.' Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, what is this about? What does this mean? What do we learn? First of all, when you do what God tells you to do, you will have critics. Okay? We see that even in the life of Jesus. He was always perfectly obedient to his Father. He only said what the Father told him to say. He only did what the Father told him to do. And he ended up being crucified by religious people who were determined, they said, to uphold the standard of righteousness. The criticism that they made of Jesus was that he was guilty of blasphemy. Well, no such thing was the case. What was really going on, as the scripture makes abundantly clear, was not only that Jesus was telling the truth about who he is. They felt that their authority and leadership and prosperity was in jeopardy. And so as a result, rather than yielding themselves to what God was doing, they decided that they were going to get rid of the one that was a threat, Jesus. Well, likewise, what's going on here? These people who objected, on the one hand, felt that the law of God was not being followed. Peter, being a Jew, was not supposed to go into the home of a Gentile. That was a violation of the law. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to keep ourselves clean. Don't you know that for us to associate with those people is a slap in God's face? It's not keeping ourselves holy. And yet, that wasn't really the issue. The real problem was that there were traditions, including certain Old Testament commands for the Jewish people, that these folks had mastered pretty well. You know, one of the great things about obeying the law of the Old Testament concerning circumcision is you only have to obey it once. Okay? Some of God's commands you got to keep obeying over and over and over again, but circumcision is a wonderfully convenient thing in that once you have obeyed it, you're done. Been there, done that. Nobody has to mess with me again. And these folks therefore loved that law. That was something they could have to set themselves apart from other people and feel superior. They were closer to God because of what they'd been through, because of what had been done to them. And because they had experienced that, now they belonged to the in crowd. They belonged to the group that God accepted. But in the Old Testament, God made it very, very, very clear that there were many people who received the physical sign of circumcision, and yet their hearts were uncircumcised, and therefore they were not accepted by God. There were lots of circumcised people that were destroyed by God's wrath, because the physical sign doesn't accomplish what only God's Spirit can do. And what they needed was not just conformity to some physical commands. What they needed was a new heart. And so way back in the book of Jeremiah, God promised that there was going to be a new covenant. And in this new covenant, we get new hearts. That's what we need. And that's now what God had fulfilled through Jesus Christ. When Jesus came and died on the cross, he completely fulfilled the law, and everything that stood against us, the Bible says, was nailed to that cross. The fact of the matter is, when Satan tempts us to despair and tells us of the guilt within, we look to Jesus. He is our righteousness. We don't say, no, I've been doing better lately. Okay? Have you noticed this week my performance has been pretty good? God, just give me a to-do list and I'll try and check it off and show that I'm on the right track, and now I've got 3 weeks of sobriety and I'm walking in obedience and I'm doing the right stuff, and so God, come on now. I know I've made mistakes in the past, but I believe I can straighten this out if you just give me enough time. Reminds me of a trucker's song from back in the 70s, I believe, maybe the 60s. Give me 40 acres and I'll turn this rig around. But I mean, that's kind of the way we operate with God sometime. Lord, if you would just give me, you know, give me some more time, I can straighten out my life. Just, you know I've messed up again and again and again, but God, if you'll just, and God says, no, I want to give you a brand new life. I want to give you a new identity. The righteousness you need has to exceed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You got to go beyond that. What they're doing, all their rule keeping, is not enough. You need something perfect. Not pretty good, not mostly right. You need perfection. There is only one who has lived a perfect life, and that's Jesus of Nazareth. And God didn't say, well, I'm going to have to change my standard. No. He sent his son who kept the standard, who lived a sinless life, and now offers that righteousness to us. So we are declared righteous not on the basis of what we have done. We are declared righteous on the basis of Jesus' righteousness. Well, that was a bit distressing for people who were proud of their own accomplishments. That was unsettling for folks who liked to feel better than other people. Because after all, we've been circumcised. We keep the law. We keep a kosher home. We do the things that we're supposed to do in order to satisfy God. The problem with that is, no, you don't. As long as you think that you can and you are, you have not really heard the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for sinners. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures. We can't leave out the fact that it was for our sins. We've all messed up. Well, but I've been doing better lately. The kids love it when I reference this. So I'll do this for their benefit, and hopefully the adults will benefit as well. Once you've thrown up in the soup, adding more ingredients doesn't make it okay. Okay? Got it? We've all messed up. We've all blown it. We can't fix that. Well, I've got a strainer. No. That won't make it right. What we need is to start all over again. Jesus said, you must be born again. That's the only hope for any of us. It's not. I actually had a guy in my community on Cape Cod whose father-in-law came to our church. And as he and I were talking, he said, well, I can see why somebody like my father-in-law needs to be born again. And he was serious. He wasn't trying to be cute. He was totally serious. He said, you know, he was a really messed up guy. And so for him, I can see where he would need to be born again. But he said, me, I've always lived a good life. He really felt like, compared to his father-in-law, he was a great guy. Well, he's right. Compared to his father-in-law, he had lived a great life. But compared to a holy God, woe is me, I am undone. That's what Isaiah said. You see, when we compare ourselves to other people, we can always find people to make us feel better about ourselves. But when we see God, we realize there is no way that we can come up to that standard. These folks who were criticizing because they were still clinging to their own righteousness. And so Peter responded to them by saying, you're a bunch of arrogant jerks. I'm not going to talk to you. I know what I'm doing. I'm an apostle. God sent me to Cornelius' house, and I don't owe you an explanation. Is that what he did? That's not what he did at all. Verse 4, Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. Peter responded by giving them a thorough, accurate accounting of what had taken place. One of the great things about telling the truth is you don't have to try and keep track of what you said. Peter had nothing to hide. He was able to tell them the whole thing in great detail, exactly, precisely, it says in NIV, as it had happened. So he gave them a full accounting. But the star of the story in Peter's testimony is not Peter, and it's not Cornelius. The star of the story is God. And folks, if we've got a real testimony, that's the way ours needs to be. It's about what God has done.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Peter says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. In a trance, I saw a vision. I saw this. I heard, etc. But it's God that he's interacting with, and God is the one who's correcting him. He says in verse 8, surely not, Lord. He knew who he was talking with. He didn't say, I heard a voice, and I wondered, could this be God? He knew it was God. How would he know? Because he knew the Lord. And the more he spent time with him doing what God said, this is the guy who heard Jesus say, come. And on that basis, he stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water. Okay? You don't need to hear a lot from God. You just need to do what you hear. And that's what Peter was learning to do. And so he had obeyed. When he went to Cornelius' house, verse 15, look at the account. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, verse 17, here's the heart of it. If God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Peter puts it right where it needs to be for all of us all the time. Are we walking in obedience to God or are we opposing God? To not do what God said was opposing God. These critics of Peter were in danger of putting themselves in opposition to God because God was up to something. God was extending the kingdom worldwide to every people, tribe, tongue, all over the world. That's how we got in. Most of us in this room are not of Jewish ancestry. And the way that we got included was because people brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be included. Aren't you? Amen. Thanks be to God. We can now, through faith in Jesus Christ, have a personal relationship with God our Father. That's magnificent. I am so glad that God reached out even to the ends of the earth to save me. So, he says, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he emphasizing there? It's a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. It is not something we earn by keeping the law. Paul's going to develop this much further in the book of Galatians. But you and I need to be sure and understand it even as we're looking at this passage. God gives us the gift of salvation. None of us has ever earned it or could ever earn it. We can't earn salvation. God gave us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only reason any of us will go to heaven, is because of what He did for us, not what we did for Him. But if we have this false notion of our own goodness, we think we're pretty good people compared to the population at large, then we're not appreciating what God has done for us, and we're not going to be effective in reaching out to other people. We've got to realize it is totally undeserved. It is God's gift. And then on that basis, we've got to start reaching out to people who, like us, don't deserve it. All right? That's what happened here. Peter said God gave them the same gift as He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to not follow through by fellowshipping with those folks would be to oppose God. Look back up at the end of chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days, which he did. Folks, the basis on which they were baptized was that they had already received Jesus as evidenced by the outpouring of His Spirit in their lives. They weren't baptized in order that they might be saved. They weren't baptized in order that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They were baptized on the basis of their having been saved and received the Holy Spirit. Now, that should be instructive for us as well. Because what was happening here, and this is something that was hard for these folks to deal with, and again, Paul's going to deal with it in much greater length in his letter to the Galatians, but circumcision was being replaced by baptism. In the Old Covenant, you could be born into the family of God. If you were a Jew, you were born a Jew. Okay? It was possible to convert to Judaism, but that didn't happen a whole lot. For the most part, it was an inheritance. You were born into the family, you were born into the faith, and on the basis of your birth, you received circumcision, the sign of the covenant. But now there's a new covenant. And in the new covenant, as we said earlier, Jesus says, you must be born again. This is what was promised through Jeremiah. But with the new birth, it's not a matter, the new birth is not a matter of who your mommy and daddy are. You can be the child, physically, of godly Christian people and not be born again. And you are not a part of the family at that point, as far as the family of God. You're part of your earthly family. You have a natural earthly relationship, but you need to be born again, or you will not enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Well, so there's a new sign of the covenant. Old covenant, the sign was circumcision. New covenant, the sign is baptism. It corresponds to circumcision. But it follows the new birth. When you are born again into the family of God, then it is appropriate to receive the sign of the covenant. And so these folks were baptized, and Peter says it was on the basis of the evidence of what God had done in their lives. That was the basis on which they proceeded. So, God has even granted the Gentiles, watch this next word, repentance unto life. Now, these were already good folks from a worldly standpoint. They were even a group of good people from the standpoint of doing good things that were pleasing to God. But they were not yet regenerate. God had to give them repentance. There had to be a change. There had to be a turning. There had to be a coming to the end of themselves and realizing, my goodness is not enough. I need what Jesus did for me on the cross. As long as it's about me and my performance, I'm still unsaved. As long as I'm confident in what I've done, I'm like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Well, Jesus is God and Jesus is good, but guess who wasn't? The rich young ruler. He needed to come to the point of realizing only God is good. Only God is good. I want to ask you honestly this morning, have you come to that point in your own life where you realize you've fallen short of God's standard and your only hope is in what Jesus did for you at the cross? You say, well, I want to do better. Well, good, but do you understand that you'll never do well enough to qualify, but that God is offering you a gift you cannot earn, a gift you don't have to earn, a gift because he loves you. So, I don't see how he could. I'm so messed up. I've done. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not just you. It's all of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God chose to love us anyway. Jesus came and died for sinners. That's what he came for. Say, but I've been trying really, really hard. Yeah, well, I can relate to that. And you still find yourself messing up, right? Yeah. Okay, well, then let me tell you something. I've got good news. Jesus came to save sinners. So you qualify. You qualify. But you've got to receive it as a gift. You can't say, okay, well, I'll take it now, but I promise I'm going to earn this. You will never earn it. But you can spend the rest of your life saying many thanks. Many thanks. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. I know I don't deserve it, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I want to give my life to you, Lord.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today. Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.